from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
11:10, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. See what they can do for you. Donnie Football, Jason Mackey in for the Starkey and Zeiss experience this afternoon, taking you up until 2 o'clock. Big Pirate Series this weekend. The second half of the season gets underway tonight, 6:40 first pitch at PNC Park. Buccos and Phillies. It is Yinzer Palooza weekend, and our coverage on 93.7 The Fan will begin tonight at 5:45, Martin Perez against Aaron Nola at the ballpark. Jason and Austin City Limits behind the glass. Wanted to take a look, or before we take a look, midway through the season at maybe some predictions we made before baseball got underway in 2024. Want to quickly take a peek at what is coming next year. The MLB announced its schedule for 2025. At the halfway point of 2024. I don't know if it's just because I'm so used to like the NFL making it such a big deal when the schedule comes out, because the NFL has that power. A schedule release in the middle of a current season is always a little bit funny to me. But nonetheless, it gives us something to discuss, because I do think there's something notable about this schedule. The Pirates will start in Florida again in 2025, that first series will come against the Miami Marlins, a 4-game set, then 3 games against Tampa Bay on the road after that. Here's where it gets interesting. That first weekend in the month of April, the home opening series for your Pittsburgh Pirates against the New York Yankees. I mean, that's a very marquee team coming into this ballpark, and I feel like in a way, if you could pull the front office, Jason, and maybe you'll get a chance to do so at some point, I feel like they can't be thrilled about this, because you put the Yankees anywhere on the schedule, you are getting huge crowds.
Doubling up on the bumps, right? You'd automatically sell out the home opener, but if you could put the Yankees somewhere else in April and make it a nice draw. I mean, granted, I don't think the Major League Baseball schedule makers are thinking like that.
Yeah.
But I understand, you know, if you're Bob Nutting, Travis Williams, or whatever, you're concerned about the business end and getting people in the ballpark, you'd like to space that out. You know, you want your home opener to be against the Royals or somebody, right? Like a team that you otherwise wouldn't want to see early or late in the season. Yeah, I was a little surprised by it, Donnie. I was. Did you think about this aspect where they're opening on the road for the 9th straight year, but think about who they could have starting on opening day, right? Like, should be Paul Skeens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a result, it's probably still going to be Paul Skeens starting on opening day, one would think. That's a marquee attraction. Don't you, like, wouldn't you want, even if you go Pirates-Yankees, put that on opening day, televise it, promote the crap out of it. Like, this is a great storyline you could be trumpeting out there. Instead, it feels kind of anonymous to me. Maybe that changes. I don't know. It's March 27th, Pirates, Marlins in Miami. It's exciting. It's like, you know, I like baseball, but I wish it was a little bit more appealing for the mainstream.
Now here's a thought, and I know they always like to tinker with that rotation early in the season. What if they yet again make Mitch Keller the opening day starter? Maybe Skeens pitches that second day. I believe that would line him up to be the Pirates' home opener.
Yeah, it's a little starter. Bit. They got two road starts to start, right?
Yeah.
I don't have the schedule in front of me. I think it's
Miami,
two
then Tampa
series
Bay.
On the road, yeah, and then they come home. So, I mean, yeah, you're innocent. You could have them do both. I just don't. At some point, the Pirates should be allowed to start the season at home.
It's kind
having
of
one of the most attractive starting pitchers storylines. Like, you'd think that would get them a home game. But
it's kind of funny to me because it's ironic. Before last season, the Steelers went nearly a decade without starting at home, and they will yet again not do so this coming year. And normally it's always due to the Pirates' schedule. You can already look at this in 2025 as a football fan, put on those glasses for a moment, and think, well, yet again, the Steelers won't be starting at home, because if you look at September of 25 for the Pirates, they are home that entire week, the first week of September, including that first Sunday. The second Sunday, the Pirates are on the road, so just a little heads up, way out from it, we can expect the Steelers to have a week two home opener in 2025, just based on looking at this.
Donnie, I can't figure out what I'm doing tomorrow. You're talking about week two home openers in 2025? Brother, come on.
I'm already
making me anxious.
I'm already taking a look at what that September schedule looks like. Something else I might try to pull off, though, and it might be difficult. I have family around D.C. My sister and brother-in-law and niece, they live in College Park. I've never actually been to Nationals Park. Is that one that you would recommend?
No,
I mean, I haven't been
it
to
is
like
not.
I haven't been to like 26 of the MLB parks. I've only been to three, including PNC.
Of all the Major League Baseball parks, it is one. No, I would not. I would not recommend it. But I mean, if you have family there, it's a fun. I love DC, believe me, as a city. But yeah, Nationals Park is, and I worked there. I worked there for a couple years when I lived in DC, so I've seen plenty of it. I miss RFK Stadium, but yeah, I mean, whatever. It's not the greatest.
What about Cincinnati, Jason? I was thinking about going there for a game.
I like Cincinnati. I'm pro Cincinnati. Are you joking?
No, I'm curious.
Oh,
your thoughts on going to the game in Cincinnati in Great American Ballpark.
Yeah, it's a super easy trip. You can stay right near the ballpark. There are plenty of bars and stuff to do downtown. People don't often like Cincinnati. It gets a bad rap. I don't understand. So I'm like, I'm worried Limits is messing with me here.
No, I'm not, because I look at the schedule and I want to start traveling to a ballpark or two per season.
Yeah,
you should. Try to start knocking them off, you know, and hit all 30. So Wrigley has always been the one that I want to go see next, because already seen Fenway. And I want to eventually do a West Coast road trip, maybe when I have a little bit more money than I do at the moment. And I mean, looking at the closer ones, Washington, D.C. is a good one. Baltimore's on the road during the week, though, next year. So that would not be easy. But Cincinnati's obviously probably the easiest to cross off, because I've already done Cleveland.
The only ones I've been to that aren't PNC, they are good ones. I've gone to Fenway a handful of times because I have some my mom's cousins live in Massachusetts, and I've gone to a game at Camden Yards. It was a Red Sox-Orioles game. But I haven't even crossed off Cleveland, and I feel like that should be
an easy one.
That looks like a pretty nice spot for a game.
It is. I'm just going through here as we're talking, trying to figure out how many I've done. I got 14 in the National League. The Mets are the only ones I haven't been to. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. 25 of 30.
So almost there.
I gotta get the lap. I did the NHL lap. I got to get an MLB lap.
You ever been to the Oakland Coliseum?
I have not. That's one of the five.
That's unfortunate.
It's one of the five. I know.
One of the greatest stadiums ever built, huh, Donnie?
Oh, it's a
sight of Moneyball, right?
Oh, yeah. Ray Fittipaldo normally joins around the 11 o'clock hour. However, Ray on vacation this week. He is brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, seven locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally, LGKG.com. Jason Limits, let's take a look at some predictions that we may have made before the season and how they look right now at the midway point. I'll start with what my Pirates predictions were coming into the season. I'll be honest, I feel pretty good about most of these. Coming into the year, my record prediction was 80-82, third place in the National League Central. They're just about on pace for that. Right now they're 48-48 and third in the NL Central. My guess was that Paul Skenes would debut before Memorial Day. That happened. It was May 11th that he debuted. This one doesn't look fantastic. Key Brian Hayes to win another Gold Glove. I also predicted four players on this team to hit 20-plus home runs. Now, two guys should easily get there. Reynolds will get there maybe by next weekend. O'Neill Cruz, if he gets hot, he should get there no problem. He has 14. Andrew McCutchen has a dozen. Maybe he could get there. The only other guys with, I think, a puncher's chance, Jack Sawinski and Rowdy Tellez. So maybe not the guys that I expected. I didn't give the exact names. I just thought four guys could probably hit 20-plus homers. One of those guys may or may not have been former first overall pick Henry Davis, but that's besides the point. And then the final prediction that I always make with the Pirates every year, a little bit jokingly, but I have said I will make this prediction every single year until I get to see it happen as an adult.
They're going to win the World Series?
Not that.
Okay.
That would be that could maybe be a little bit realistic here a couple years down the line. Who knows? For the team to throw a no-hitter. Because the last one I was only about a year and a half old for in 97. And Limits wasn't even around yet in 97.
I think -4.
I think Paul Skenes already, he gives me the optimism that it could happen this year. And it doesn't have to be just an individual effort, because I know there could be cases where they take him out early. But I now have much more optimism about the no-hitter prediction happening.
Eventually, yes. This is probably a sore subject for Pirates fans right now. I was going to say something sarcastic about that happened, Donnie. He had a chance to throw a no-hitter. I do wonder what sort of circumstances the Pirates would need to allow Paul Skenes to try for a no-hitter. He's going to have his pitch count at like 80 or 90 at this point. Separate discussion. I know we'll get back to the predictions. But I'm sorry, that doesn't happen in 2 years, right? Paul Skenes getting taken out of a game even at 99 pitches?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he leaves the mound. I think this is a product of like, okay, I've made just 11 starts. I'm going to listen to my manager and be a good soldier. Yeah, I guess I was tired. He said I was tired. Okay, I'm going to move on. Like, Paul Skenes a couple years into this thing, I'm pretty sure is saying, like, get back in the dugout. who was that, the Yankees pitcher? Was that Messina? Pettit? There was a Yankees pitcher who told Joe Torre to get back in the dugout. And anyway, that's I want to see a no-hitter, too.
I mean, I think it's one of the coolest things to witness. I mean, I've seen, not in person, but, I mean, a ton just highlights wise or maybe watching live. Now, perfect game, no hitter are completely different. Perfect game is what it's happened 24 times, I think, in league history.
Yeah, the last by Pirate legend Domingo Germán.
Yes, who has just been released as of what, yesterday. The perfect game I always remember was Mark Burley, because that was middle of the summer. I was in middle school. MLB Network was only a few years old at that point. Tossed that game on. It was like a Wednesday or Thursday afternoon, so I watched pretty much all of that game. Like, something like that, as a Pirates fan, to see a Pirates player do it would just be awesome. Like, no matter where they are in the season, no matter what the record is,
sure,
I just want to see something cool like that happen.
We're due. Do you know about the running joke with me and no-hitters on the baseball beat?
I don't.
So I've never seen one outside of maybe college would be the last one. Certainly have never covered one. And I've made this point to Alex Stumpf or Noah or Andrew Destin, even Patrick Kirsch, the Pirates media relations guy. And if anybody gets close, it's like immediately we start making fun of me, which is fine and warranted. Mike Persak, former beat writer at the Post Gazette, his very first road trip, that was Lucas Giolito's no-hitter. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Persak. Yeah, I covered the game, Miles Michaelis, that went down to the final strike, and Cal Mitchell gets a hit to spoil it. Mm-hmm. I was there. I had a story written for the no-hitter and everything. I just want to see one. I don't care if it's against the Pirates. It's just this mythical thing that I, like, don't believe is ever going to happen. But, yeah, I'm convinced that if I'm in the ballpark, I'm never going to see one.
Austin, have you ever seen one?
No, I have not. No, never even have come close to seeing a no-hitter.
Oh, you know when the Pirates? Six innings. You know when the Pirates were, they won the game, but
the
were no-hit
game
back at home? Yeah, I was supposed to work game.
Or you mean the Hunter Green game?
Yes, that
the Hunter
game.
Green game. Yeah. Yes, I was supposed to work that game. Wenzel got COVID, and I ended up having to go on the Penguins trip to Madison Square Garden. Missed it. There's a conspiracy, I'm telling you, Donnie.
Oh, that's rough.
It's clear and evident.
I have a buddy from college who actually works in the productions now with AT&T Sports. So he, like you, very close to checking off all of the major league ballparks. This is back when we were in high school, but he used to go, you know, he used to try to knock one or two off every single summer as well. He goes to a random Mets game, I think early in high school. Johan Santana throws a no-hitter.
Oh, man,
he went to that
awesome
game. Because I remember asking him while we were in college together, like, "Oh, what was the, what was the best random baseball game you went to?" And he was like, "Yeah, it was just like a random June in what, like 20? It was like probably 2011 or 2012. I might have my dates off, but the Johan Santana,
very cool,
no hitter,
very cool."
Jason, what were some of your preseason thoughts on the Buccos? Do you think they're about right where you expected?
They kind of are, Donnie. I had 84 wins at the beginning of the year, and frankly, I'm good with that right now. I had said 84 wins, and I think they come up just short of making the playoffs. I don't feel any differently about where they're at, 48-48, 84 wins. We're talking about a couple games over 500. Let's remember, since Paul Skeens has come up, they've been 31-26. So, I mean, they've been playing pretty good ball. I think they have a chance to do that down the stretch. If we get to some of the smaller stuff, I'm off. I think I those predictions that you were rattling off, I think I made those, but I can't totally remember what I said was going to happen. I think I probably said Hayes was going to win another Gold Glove. I know I had Bednar and Hayes as my All-Stars, which looks cool. Bad now. Not a good call on my part.
I mean,
part.
Bednar, at least since April, has figured it out. I mean, certainly
no,
not an All-Star.
No, but I mean, it's like two of the more...
Yeah.
Promising into disappointing storylines that we've seen this season. But yes, Bednar has certainly been better since that slow start. I don't know how many I picked with 20-plus homers. I probably would have been in the four range. You know, if I would have went through, I would have thought Reynolds gets 20, Cruz gets 20. I probably would have had Jack hitting 20,
mm-hmm,
and maybe Rowdy hitting 20. I think that's, if I go back to the way I would have thought back then.
Do you think it's unfair or unrealistic of me to think Henry Davis, a former first overall pick, should be a player that has 15-20 home runs?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a catastrophic failure, but
I'd back off that tone or feeling. I'd give him more time. I think what Henry has had to go through and learn has cut into his offensive development. Them putting him out in right field and having to concentrate on that didn't do him any favors. Him having to learn catching because he was a year behind, or having to improve behind the plate, I shouldn't say learn catching. He had improvements to make behind the plate. Like, all of this stuff has cut into the amount of time he's been able to spend hitting and working on his swing, and he's had problems with his swing. He's had problems hitting major league pitching consistently. I don't know if I'd call it a catastrophic failure, because he has shown that he can catch at the major league level. Metrically, he's been the best one they have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not arguing for him to play now. I'm fine with having Joey Bart as the starter. But what worries me about Henry is, like, where does he fit? What are you going to do with him? Where are you going to put him? Like, he doesn't deserve to play over the guys that are there now. It should be Bart 1, DeLay 2. frankly, is the way I would go. I wouldn't have Grandal on the team, but I can't make a case for having Henry there right now. And I'm not sure what he has to gain at AAA. So I don't know. I don't think it's a failure that he's not hitting 15 or 20 home runs right now because of it catching being such a difficult position and because of what he was forced to do, you know, with the right field thing and, you know, not developing him all that great, to be honest with you.
Do you think they have any future thought of, okay, so next year Andy Rodriguez will be back. Maybe we keep Joey Bart around for a minute because he's a former, you know, high pedigree drafted player, got taken second overall a few years back. So maybe we have our two catchers there. And Andrew McCutchen, at some point, Kutch will hit the end of his career. Do you think they ever just kind of take a wash on what Davis can do defensively and let him solely focus as a DH?
I don't think so at this point, Donnie. I wouldn't see a reason to do it. If anything, I'm slightly encouraged by what Davis has done defensively. He's improved. My questions with him are more bat-related and just consistency-related. Like, can he be a consistent contributor at the major league level? Like, he's got power in pockets. He's found it in pockets. He's shown it's in there. But can he bring it out for an entire season? I think that's a fair question to ask. I don't see what ditching catching would do. I think it helps them more to have him catch. I don't want to see him in right field again. I know that. I guess you could use him as a DH if you're going to, like, come up with some catching platoon. Like him and Endy, if they're your guys. Even he and Bart, if they're your guys. I don't know. I mean, if it's a way to get his bat in the lineup, I'm fine. I just don't see what ditching catching would do for
him. Do you think they try to move any of those guys to first base?
I know
Rodriguez has that in his background.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I do. I don't see how it works out. And I wouldn't move Henry there because he's got among the best arms on the team. Like, it's he, Endy, and Cruz. I don't love that. And I worry about, so what, we're going to have a third position that he's got some questions at? Like, he finally answered some questions catching. I'm not saying he's the greatest catcher who's ever caught, but he's been better. You know, they were concerned that he couldn't catch at the major league level. It's been far better than that. But yeah, I think somebody might have to learn how to play first base, yeah.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Some of my league predictions from afar, I would say about 50-50 here is how I feel about these, looking at them at the midseason point. Some big-time misses for me. I thought Matt Olson would have a gigantic year after 54 homers in 2023. He was my NL MVP pick. My AL Rookie of the Year pick was actually Jackson Holliday. My NL Rookie of the Year, I don't think this guy's having an awful season, Jackson Merrill, but, I mean, Paul Skenes is going to run away with that bad boy now. My AL MVP, not going to happen, but he's having a good season, Juan Soto. My two Cy Young picks, however, not bad, Corbin Burnes, Zach Wheeler, and I feel even better about my World Series pick, Jason. I had the Orioles over the Phillies in the Fall Classic.
I like it. I like it. I cannot fault those picks one bit, man. I think we may maybe not be overlooking, but like the Phillies are so darn good, man.
Yeah,
they really are. Like, if they win the World Series, I'm not going to be the least bit shocked.
And I see them too. I know last season they didn't get there. I know the Diamondbacks, you know, in an upset, beat them to reach the World Series. But I feel like the Phillies, every year, I know they keep a lot of the same guys around, but really no matter who they have, they are such a battle-tested October team.
They really are.
You know, every year where it seems like the Dodgers are better, the Braves are better, the Mets are better, you know, whoever, you could put any NL team there, the Phillies find their way to get past them and end up getting either on the doorstep or into the World Series.
You know what the Yinzer comeback to this is going to be, right? Like, the Phillies are so good, why ain't Skenes and Keller starting this weekend, huh? Yep. Why don't you throw to your best two pitchers against the Philly coming in top for Yinzer Palooza?
That is what people are upset about.
I know. I understand. I get it. But also got to figure that all of, you know, we're talking about the aggregate. If I'm not trying to defend this because, believe me, I would like to see them pitching as well, but I also think you need to be cognizant of 162. But if you lose, you know, lose two of three, but you take care of the Cardinals next week, it's probably about what you'd expect. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a reason to accept it or understand it, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like they're putting more chips into the Cardinals basket. It's like they've had two chances now to take two out of three in that series, and they haven't done so.
Well, I just think they're not looking at opponents, Donnie. I think they're looking at what do we need to do for Mitch, what do we need to do for Paul, and it doesn't matter who's on the schedule. And I think fans say it does matter who's on the schedule, and the team's saying we don't care. We're trying to make sure these guys are healthy for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna get complaints about who's pitching this weekend, but in reality, Ortiz has been a fantastic arm for that staff all season. I actually feel like, and he's gotten brought up in some random hypothetical trade discussions. Maybe I'm just like the world's biggest Luis Ortiz fan, Jason. I feel like you cannot let that guy go if there is something on the other side. I feel like he is like the glue guy of that pitching staff.
I'm not letting any pitcher go. I would not trade a pitcher if I were the Pirates, for the reason that I want to get Paul Skenes throughout the season, which means I want to go to a six-man rotation, which means I need to have it work. Luis Ortiz, to me, is a key to having it work. He's pitched well. So, no, I mean, you need more starting pitching, not less starting pitching. This comes up every once in a while. We start talking about trading starting pitching, then like four guys get hurt. Stop talking about trading starting pitching. You can never have enough. We're never going to get to the scenario where the Pirates are saying, oh my goodness, we have all these great starting pitchers. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to get them all in the rotation. Like, that day is not going to happen. Stop trying to remove people. That's my soapbox stance on that. By the way, Donnie, did you see the Noah Hyles tweet from last night? I thought this was fantastic. Would it be a true Yinzer Palooza if people weren't a little pissed about the Pirates? How true is that?
That is true.
How true is that? That's almost like a giveaway. Like, here, we're gonna hand you some angst with this Phillies series. We're not gonna start Skenes or Keller. Just get you a little level of agitated. Come on in.
Baseball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Limits, have you dug up any of your baseball predictions for 2024? How are those babies looking at the midway point?
Indeed I have, Donnie. So I said 85 and 77 for the Pirates at the beginning of the season, which I thought was, I said 75 before last year and they won 76. So I was feeling myself a little bit. And I also included a little bit of context. 80 to 82 is more realistic without adding another good starting pitcher. Jared Jones became that very good starting pitcher, but just internally, which made me feel a lot more confident about the 85 wins. Picked them second in the Central, and Jason to sneak in with that final wild card.
All right.
I think it's looking okay right
now. October, baby.
It's looking pretty good right now.
What do you guys think the magic number is, like the magic win total to get in? I know 84 is what the morning show discussed, which is where you two fall in. I was a little bit short of that, but I mean, hey, you have a nice second half. I think 36 and 30. They do have a daunting second half schedule on paper, but I want to say 36 and 30 is what they have to do to reach that 84 win mark.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable, Donnie. I don't feel great about 84. I'd feel a lot better about 85 or 86. I think 84 might come up just short. I want to look at what it was last year that got that last team in. It might have been 84, 85.
It was Arizona with 84.
Yeah, Arizona had 84.
Given the glut of teams right now, that makes me nervous. I'd like to see 85 or 86 to feel better.
And that's why I said 85 and getting that final spot just barely, because of the margin of teams that are all bunched together this year.
You know what's maddening, though? Just real quick, if you think back to this Pirates season and how many games they've frittered away, like, just give me four or five of those in the situation we're talking about right now and what they'd have to do down the stretch to get a playoff game. Like,
That's why I bring up, and maybe it's overkill, but like early in the season, we hear a lot about, hey, you know what, that we play 162 of these things, like no worries about blowing a 2 or 3 run lead in a game in April. But there is, because you get to the end of the season, and what if they miss out on the playoffs by a single game? I will circle that game in April. Like think of that Detroit game way back in April when Bednar blew up in the 9th inning.
Yep.
That's a game you're going to circle, among other games, if they miss out on the playoffs by a game or a game and a half.
Or things like in the last time in St. Louis, that Thursday game where you sat Kutch, yes, Connor Joe, Nick Gonzalez. You get into late game situations that call for something, 8th and 9th inning, and Shelton doesn't. I think Derek Shelton, by and large, I agree with Starkey's column a couple days ago that he's done a decent job. I agree with that. But like, was that an opportunity, a game that the Pirates should want to have been more competitive in? Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you look at that and think that everything, like, you can comb through their season and think about games where there have been a bunch of really bad fundamentals, or, you know, bullpen management, or lack of offense, or whatever. I mean, they're certainly, like, they could be a lot better than 48-48 right now. I think that's a absolutely fair assessment.
I still can't get over them being swept by the A's. I just can't. And it was an embarrassment, that series. It's not like they were all one-run games.
They couldn't score.
The A's dominated them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And those are some of the games that you look at.
Yep.
Even taking one game puts you right in a playoff position right now.
Yep.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/AtBat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Donnie Football, Jason Mackey in for the Starkey Zeiss experience until 2 o'clock. Austin Bechtold, a.k.a. City Limits, behind the glass. We will have a Bechtold breakdown a little bit after 12 o'clock, so 10 to 15 minutes from now. Hopefully we may stray a little bit past that, as sometimes it does happen during these midday hours, but every Friday around noon is when Austin likes to do that. We'll dive into a little bit of Steelers discussion in the next hour, but an open update, the British Open going on. Sugar Shane Lowry, 7-under as they play in the second round. And if you heard the update from City Limits there a few moments ago, Tiger Woods will not be making the cut at the Open. Do we think it hurts? I guess it is pretty obvious. It hurts a little bit viewership-wise when Tiger Woods is not in the discussion on the weekend, because he's certainly still, at this point in his career, he does bring viewers. Like, even if you are not a fan of him, which I am not.
Same.
I have been outspoken about that. My friends get very upset with me about that. I can acknowledge that when he is in contention on Saturday and Sunday, he certainly brings viewers to the game. However, I feel like golf is in a pretty healthy place. I feel like there are a lot of very good young golfers, and it doesn't necessarily need Tiger Woods anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's a draw. It's something to watch. I don't know how you'd maybe describe it. It's not a circus act or anything like that, because he's, what, the greatest golfer of our lifetime, I think is fair to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, it the sport has moved on to better players, more interesting players. I've never been a huge Tiger Woods fan for myriad reasons. I know that probably upsets some people. So how can you not love Tiger? Well, some of the stuff that he did, some of the ways that he acts, like, I just never been that into it. But do I want to see him play horribly and miss the cut every time? No, it's interesting when he's in contention. I think golf is a better sport with that. And I understand people who want to see him thrive, but I'm perfectly fine with the other names there.
Tiger Woods, 14 over at the Open. He was 6 over today. He was 8 over in that first round. And Jason, I was talking to you about this during the break. He has certainly done some bad things, for sure, to give ammunition as to why maybe you're not a fan of the guy. But I also said he's one of those brands in sports. Sometimes you get teams, sometimes you get individual athletes where the fans of him or the team don't make it much easier, because the obnoxious nature that I feel like we see Tiger fans go to in golf, it turns me off to the guy. It does. I'll be honest. And I have plenty of friends who are huge fans. And I told you, I wake up yesterday morning, because of how early this tournament starts across the pond, I wake up yesterday morning, I have, three texts from buddies, a Tiger emoji, a goat emoji, a Tiger gif, and, I didn't say anything the rest of the day, and then we get to middle of the afternoon, and I just chime in, hey guys, haven't heard an update in a while, how did Tiger do? Knowing full well that Eldrick Woods shot 8 over in the first round at the Open.
Did you get any response to that?
No, I didn't.
No?
No, it normally angers them enough to just silence, because they don't really have a comeback. I've told Pony and Chris, too, the other day before it started, I have a wager with one of my good friends, who this friend, a very avid golfer. He's a very good golfer. He golfed in high school. We bet a few years ago, this was following his most recent car accident where he suffered the very bad leg injury. I said that this is it. I mean, he'll participate in tournaments, and I know that he'll always be around for the big ones, and hey, if he makes the cut and he's in contention, whatever, I said, he ain't ever going to win another major. He had his return moment at the Masters. That was cool. Like, I can appreciate that from afar as a sports fan. Yeah, am I not a fan of the guy himself? I can acknowledge that was a cool moment. And that Masters, had eyeballs all over it because he's a rock star of the sport. But after that second one, I said, he ain't winning another major. And I immediately got met with, oh, I'll bet you $100 that he does. I said, I'll take that action right now.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good bet.
Absolutely it is. I feel fantastic about it, because now we see him, and, he's an all-time great. I mean, argument of greatest golfer to ever live, up there with Jack Nicklaus, among others. I can acknowledge that as well. He's just a shell of himself. Like, yeah, he's just not the same.
Yeah. The fact that he's out there and playing, it's great. But is he thought of as, you know, somebody you have to see at this point? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. At the same time, and I think that's what drives both of us crazy, people act like he is. Like, if you say you don't like Tiger Woods, that's like a controversial opinion. Like, no, it's just, it's really not relevant in the discussion of the sport right now. I don't know. I'm trying to think of an equivalent to, you know, a former athlete in another sport that's like still hanging around but on the periphery. Like, he's not doing anything that impactful. I don't know, Aaron Rodgers? Would that be something?
Maybe.
Where you're just like dug in on this guy and you have to see what he does. You're like, what have you done? What have you done? Aaron Rodgers might actually be a pretty good comparable.
Yeah, I mean, and Rodgers, in his case, he has won a couple of MVPs at least recently. I mean, beyond
that. When was his last one?
I think his last, not his last season in Green Bay, but the one before that. I want to say, was it 21?
Yeah, it was.
All right, there was a 21. All right. It's not too terrible.
Yeah, so I mean, but around that same time period, that same era, Tiger had his win at the Masters, which again was cool, but it's just, that was an outlier given the second half of his career.
Yeah, like the amount of fuss that I'm hearing about you doesn't balance out with what you've achieved. Like, if on the right side, I'm hearing all kinds of stuff and there's headlines and stories and attractive, like, you would think on the other side, there's accomplishment, winning, thriving, all this stuff. Like, that scale does not balance with Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I feel like golf is in a pretty healthy place, and it's unfortunate to say.
You might be the only one that feels that way, by the way, with all the LIV stuff going
well,
on.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I mean, like, overall, like, golf as a whole, not necessarily the PGA by itself, but I just feel like there are a lot of pretty young golfers out there that people can attach themselves to. That, like, maybe the sport doesn't necessarily need Tiger Woods anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a generational talent that, like, he's always going to have a place. I just don't. I mean, we've already spent too much time talking about Tiger Woods based on how competitive he is. We're doing it because of his past. It's nothing recent. I understand people getting all nostalgic and wanting to see him make the cut, and that's cute. He's going to play on Sunday, and we'll wear our red shirts. I was like, I just don't care. I just don't care. Like, this guy was largely a creep. We don't want to talk about that. We want to ignore it because it's a cool nostalgic story and he plays the sport well. But, like, he's off cheating on his wife, wrecking a car. Like, we're not talking about, you know, an impeccable off-field personality here. We're just conveniently ignoring those things because he plays the sport well. And I just don't need to, like, get on nostalgic, you know, thinking this is going to be the one more time, baby. It's going to be coming down 18 in red.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.